I've been praying about this for a while, about speaking on this topic, and I believe it should be of no surprise to you that I address what I will address this evening. In our day, if you're paying attention to media, if you're paying attention to what is happening in our world, the prevalence of prophecy is very clear, very apparent. And you see it in many different ways, and you see many different people speaking of it, seeking to give prophecy, and you see many, many, many following after them. As a pastor, a few months ago, I began a study on what is my role as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, an elder bishop in the church. And I was startled at how prevalent I saw this instruction. Help the church to be discerning of false teachers that will come amongst them. As a pastor, I've been increasingly more and more aware of my need and calling to help guard the church from error. This is an active role. It demands action, and it demands speaking forth. It demands that pastors not stand by, but that they help their congregations, that we help the church to discern truth from error and to stand firmly upon the Word of God. So I'm going to embark on this study. I don't know how long it's going to be on prophecy and the Christian. I don't have it all mapped out fully. I keep discovering new things as I dig deeper into this. And I find it really fascinating. And I'm excited about the different things that I will learn and will be able to share with you and to teach you. I'm going to tell you up front, I'm not prepared, or will I ever, to give you any prophecy. I will not be giving you any new revelation from God. I will seek to tread carefully as I walk through this. I believe that there are false prophets in the world today. I believe that many in the church have been deceived, and when I say the church, church in general, professing believers have been deceived by them and have gone after them, have supported their ministries. And so I seek to warn you and to help guide us in truth. With that being said, if you have thoughts or questions concerning this, I would be interested in them, because certainly I do not know everything that you are confronting or dealing with, or maybe you have curiosities concerning. And if you would like to share them with me, I may at some point seek to answer those questions. What is fascinating about prophecy is how it captures people's attention. You notice on the booksellers' lists, you will see books about prophecy very quickly climb in popularity. Why is that? It's because all of us are clamoring for new information. We want to be the ones on the inside. We want to be able to say, this is what's going to happen, and this is when. And we just have that zeal and have that passion and the hunger. Naturally, that's within us all. Even as I've been studying through this and do some research online, boy, I find myself fascinating reading the different prophetic sites that are out there because I'm just trying to educate myself of the depth of error that is there. It is fascinating, and it reels you right in. And they get you to buy their books and to listen to their tapes and all of that. We need to be careful. We need to tread and walk very carefully. Tonight is just a brief introduction on all of this. I will not be speaking next week as we will not have an evening service. So we will have a little break in this. But nevertheless, we're going to march through this and discover some very important things, I believe. To begin, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to just make some observations from this text, and then we're going to go into the Old Testament. But 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly, or to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is a text we will unwrap probably in a future session, but I just draw our attention to this, and this is, I hope, not surprising to you, but there will be, and there are, false teachers amongst us. I got to tell you something. Ministering the Word of God and teaching and being in a position and a role such as what I am in as a pastor is a terrifying, terrifying role. But what I am so excited and thrilled about is that God's Word gives instruction for me on how I am to live, preach, teach, and really obeying God and trusting in Him. And God will see me through and help guard my lips. Will I ever say something that will be in error? I believe yes. I'm not infallible. And that's a scary thing as I'm up here preaching, and that's a fear I have sometimes. Well, Lord, guard my lips. But a false teacher is someone whose life is exemplified by words, by a message that is anti-Christ, that is anti-God. And you see that unwrapped for us in this text. With that being said, I'd like us to look briefly this evening at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, why do we go back to Deuteronomy? Well, Moses in Deuteronomy is giving a how shall I say, a summary of the law to the new generation that will be going into the promised land. So remember, they came to the promised land. The Israelites came to the promised land the first time. They did not believe God. They rebelled against him. So God sent them back out into wilderness wandering. And everybody died that was 20 and over. So now we've got a new generation that is ready to go into the promised land. And Moses now is reviewing the law with them before they go in, because he wants this new generation to be solid and to be firm in their belief in God. Well, in this passage in Deuteronomy 13 and then also in Deuteronomy 18, he addresses prophets. And so tonight, what I'd like us to do, and I don't think this will take us long, is that we need to understand this truth, that true prophecy will always agree or will not contradict with previously revealed truth. This is important. What God has already revealed will not be contradicted by a prophet of God. Maybe God's prophet will bring more to light and bring new revelation, but it will not contradict what God has already revealed. And Deuteronomy chapter 13, we start here with the scenario. If there arise, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and you shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And, verse 5, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust you out of the way which the Lord your God commanded you to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of you. What do we see here in this text? Well, we see Moses declaring that the people of Israel need to know and understand and be prepared to confront false teachers, false prophets. If you are a reader of the Bible, and I dare say probably most of you here tonight are, you are familiar with how often prophecy is in the Scriptures. I mean, there's a whole section called the Major and the Minor Prophets. Jesus prophesied on many occasions. The book of Revelation is full of prophecy. And these prophecies are declared by people that God has given these words for them to declare and communicate. You see, a prophet is one that takes God's message and relays it and communicates it to the people. So the scenario is that the prophet or dreamer of dreams, he gives a sign or a wonder, that's a miracle, something incredible, and it comes to pass, interesting, he then speaks a word supposedly from the Lord, but it's contrary to previously revealed truth. Notice the example that is given here is that he says, after he's done this sign to get the attention, and it's interesting how often you see signs and wonders associated with prophets. I mean, it's very clear that those are used so often to authenticate God's messengers. But the example used here is of a false prophecy is, let us go, middle verse 2, after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. That's what he's telling the people. And in a role, in a position as a prophet, in a role of authority, of seeming authority, one who's got this sign and this wonder, has got attention. So now, listen, people, I've got this incredible new message for you. Go after other gods. Go serve them. Now, of course, we know and we understand that the people of Israel at this point have already received the Ten Commandments. And that's just the easiest example to go back to contradict what this prophet is declaring. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. This, of course, being declared by Yahweh. So what are we to do? What is the people of Israel to do? Well, the instruction is, do not listen to his word. But he did a sign. He did a miracle. Do not listen to his word. Why? Well, the Lord has brought this to be that he might know of your true belief. This is an interesting thought here, because in the middle of verse 3, he says, "For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And so it's interesting here that Moses is communicating this to the people of Israel, and he's declaring that their standard must be his word. They must stand upon his revealed truth. And their standing upon his revealed truth will prove their true belief and love for God. You see, to not hold to the previously revealed truth is to show an inward, fleshly, human passion and desire for more. God is not enough. What God has revealed is not enough. And so they hunger for more. And they go after that. The false prophet has spoken in order, why? To turn God's people away from the Lord. Moses is declaring that here. And the people of Israel, they did good to listen to this. Did well to listen to this. Because the false prophets, their goal, their desire is to turn people away from the Lord. The false prophet has spoken in order to thrust God's people out of the way commanded by the Lord. So what's the application here? Always keep the main thing, the main thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. No matter how fantastic the wonders are, no matter how amazing this word of prophecy, quote unquote, really is, never depart from loving the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Walk, verse 4, after the Lord your God. Fear him and keep his commandments. And this is so very important that God gives us this clear boundary. And church, we need to heed this. In our day and age when all sorts of things are going to come at us, are coming at us, flying around, all these different perspectives, dates, times, signs, and wonders. Hold to God's revealed truth. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Obey his voice. Serve him and cleave unto him. Keep the main thing, and put away the evil from among you. And don't allow these kinds of evil things to be in your midst. Now, how might that apply in your life? TV? Internet? Be careful what you're allowing in your home and what you're allowing to come before your eyes and before your mind, before your children, before those that are with you or around you. Be careful. Be prudent. Are there any examples of this? Well, what about Satan in Genesis chapter 3? Hath God said? Questioning what God said. You shall not surely die. You can eat of this tree. In a way, Satan is acting as a false prophet here, declaring something that is not true and in contradiction to God's revealed word, even though there's only two chapters before it. It starts out right in the beginning. There's a very interesting example in 1 Kings chapter 13. You have a man of God. He's called that in the text, and we don't have time to go through it, but he's called the man of God. He is a prophet. He's prophesying to the king, and the prophecies are coming true. He is a true prophet of the Lord. And the Lord had told him, after he declared his prophecy to the king, to not stop and eat with anyone, but to head directly home. Well, on the way home, an older man, an older quote-unquote prophet, comes and he stops him and he says, an angel appeared to me and told you that I am to invite you home to eat with me. And so the man of God takes his word, because he has made it sound so convincing, and he goes and he eats with him. And he dies very short time thereafter. Because why? He did not heed the word of the Lord. And he listened to this other man who was lying. And it says it right in the text. He lied to him. Hold to God's previously revealed truth. True prophets, true prophecy will always hold to that. Well, there is much more to be said on this. But our time is up. But I trust the warnings are clear tonight. Hold to God's revealed truth. Love the Lord. Walk after Him. Fear Him. Deceptions are many, and they are deceptive. Be prudent, discerning, as God's people. Lord, we thank you for your word, and I thank you for the standards that you have given to us. And God, I ask that you would continue to guide us in being discerning people, your people. God, I ask that we would be That you would clearly direct us and help us to stand firmly upon your precious word. We know that to be your revealed truth. Give us a confidence in it, a trust in it. May it be enough to satisfy our many, many desires. Lord, you truly have given us what we need. I thank you, Lord, for this study, and I pray that you would guide and direct us in weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.